Aaron Kinsey.
Hi. I looked up to Keith Urban a lot. Yeah. I looked up to Brad Paisley a lot. Music was always something that was mine, and I liked it that way. I'm like, I'm moving to Nashville. I'm chasing this dream. No. Honestly, I was upset that we broke up. I wasn't thinking too much about any of that. Yeah. And then I found out they were engaged like a year later.
Would you date anyone right now, or are we focusing on the music? Aaron Kinsey.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Great to see you.
Good to see you.
How were the awards last night? People's Choice Awards country last night.
They were awesome.
Were
I've never
really
been.
Fun?
I've never been before
no
to
one's
that.
Ever, this is like the second one ever. So most, I feel like most people haven't
so
been.
So I haven't missed
except
much.
For last night. Yeah, yeah. You're right there.
Well, Shania Twain hosted it. And she's just such an icon. Like, and she wore a lot of her like iconic outfits and stuff like that. And
yeah.
She came in on this thing that fell from the ceiling. It was crazy.
Is she really? Do you feel like you have to say she's an icon, or was she iconic last night?
She was iconic.
Really?
Yes.
Because she came in on a thing, she just made a great entrance.
Great entrance, great presence. I don't know. There's something about her that even if she had no makeup on and regular clothes on, I feel like if I saw her at a grocery store, I would know she's somebody special.
Really?
Yes. Just the way she acts is, I don't know, like she's somebody. And she is.
Yeah. Wait, so you did the red carpet last night, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
But you've done that before, right? For different things.
Yeah, I've done it at the ACMs a couple times. And then...
I feel like I've seen you on a million red carpets.
I did get to walk a NASCAR red carpet one time.
I wasn't there for that one.
I got to do that, though. And I had no idea, like, what was going on. They were asking me a lot of questions about cars. I got to perform Just Drive on the NASCAR Awards. Mm. And so it was really cool. It was really fun. But I do not know all the ins and outs of NASCAR, and I felt like that showed. However, I was happy to represent the NASCAR Awards being in Nashville and being like a country music, you know, connection there. But I definitely learned a lot.
Do you feel like people, what kind of questions are people asking you on the red carpet? Like, does everyone kind of know who you are at this point? And like, they're asking really informed stuff? Or is everyone like, can you tell when people are phoning it in and they're not asking great questions on the carpet?
I mean, honestly, a lot of people have done their homework. Like, they knew I have an EP coming out in a couple weeks, and they were asking me about that and what my favorite song from it was, how it came together. So I got to talk a lot about that, which is exciting because I haven't announced that for super long, so I haven't gotten to talk about it a lot. So I was excited to talk about it. Yeah, I don't think there's anybody where it felt awkward, but it is hard on the red carpet because there's somebody having a conversation right to your left and right to your right, and I am just such, like, I just want to know it all. So I'm like trying to listen in on like what they're saying, but I'm asked a question that I need to answer.
Are you just naturally able to do the red carpet and you know what to say? Or like, is someone like, have you spent time with people being like, have you ever done mock red carpet simulations? Or you just
not
know what to do?
Not red carpet simulations.
But you have done other types of simulations for this kind of thing?
Oh, well, I've had like a little bit of media. I wouldn't say even training, but throughout the years, I mean, I've been in Nashville for 6 years and I've been coming to town for 10. So throughout the time, like, I've had conversations with public relations people that have given me advice on like what to say, but I haven't had formal training, but it definitely shows. If I had any formal training, it would be probably upsetting to them.
First of all,
where I've ended up.
There's this move that I think every publicist like tells people to do when I'm on a red carpet, which is like, I'll talk to an artist and they will like pause and like, turn towards me and like be like, well, Zach, and like it's such a like calculated like 1, 2, 3 move, can't even explain it. And
but
I go,
you know it when you see it.
Oh, I know when I see it, but I go, what is that? Like, I don't even think that looks good. Like, is anyone like, when you do media, I've always been fascinated what they teach you in media training, because I'm the media, I guess, so nobody tells me.
You're the media. I'm trained for the media.
I am the media. Nobody tells me what these people are being trained for, but I don't even understand like what's being taught in these sessions. Like, anything of value, or is that not really what it's about?
You know what? I think it's more so like how to act when you don't know how to answer a question, or also I think more than anything, I've just been encouraged to take my time to answer questions, that I don't have to rush into having something. But it's just something that, like, things that you're never taught on, like how to talk publicly when you're not talking to a big group, when you're just talking one-on-one. Because I feel like in school, you do presentations, you learn little things along the way, but when you're talking one-on-one, it's different than like giving a presentation to the class. So just advice on how to do that, I guess.
That's the thing, is like, you don't have to rush. Like, I feel like the amateurs They like are racing. They think they have to like get out, but it's like, and the pros will like take a beat, right? Like, isn't that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, don't say a bunch of ums and well, like the space fillers. Like, it's okay to just leave some space.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that was another piece of advice I was given that I definitely needed. Or to not say like a million times. I was younger and trying to do interviews and stuff like that. I just said it. But
said what?
You know, when you're in high school or middle school, you say like a million times.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like this, like that, like, like. So try to not do that, I guess.
None of that bothers me, though. I don't think that matters. That's the...
It mattered to them.
Yeah. Wait, this new song that you just dropped last week, Getting Away With It.
Yeah.
I got an email from your lovely publicist this morning who said that this song showcases a new sound.
Yes.
But what is that sound?
You know, it's always tough to wrap up the sound definition, you know? But for me, this song, the songs I've released before this and the ones that are the other ones on the project, they're a lot more rockin', I guess. Like, I've done more typical, in my mind, what is more typical and safer country. And these feel like they're a little bit outside of the box. And I felt that when I was writing them, of this is different for me. And even just from the cadence from the lyrics or the really big, heavy guitars and the big old drums and just kind of not reining it in as much as I normally have. I feel like with these songs and Getting Away With It in specific, I kind of just wanted to lean all the way in and see what happened if we just, you know, turned the saturation all the way up and just saw what it did. And I ended up really liking it.
Was that, though, something that you thought was suited to the songs? Or did you feel like that's what I would want to do? Like, I would want all my records to sound like Guns N' Roses. Like, did you go in intentionally? So Josh Kerr produced some of these, like,
yes.
So you go into these producers and you say, this new me, this new Aaron Kinsey sound, this is going to be loud. Okay. I need high gain. Like, is that what you literally do? Or like, what's happening with this new sound?
You know, honestly, so the first song I released from this project, and I didn't even know it would lead to a project. I just released it as a single, was Matchmaker. And it was a lot more real lyrics to me than I had ever released. Like very factual. And the sound was a little bit of that one. It's almost a little bit quirky is the best way I know how to describe it.
The sound is quirky?
Yeah.
Do you think so? Because that I don't think it's quirky.
I feel like it's a little bit bouncy. It's, I don't know. It felt different for me at least. And instead of trying to rein it in to what I felt safer, I decided to just kind of leave it be how we wrote it. And a lot of this, like, I mean, Josh Kerr did produce a lot of the tracks, so did Casey Brown. But a lot of the turning the saturation up, I feel like that's the best way I know how to say it. And just letting it be all the way one way, not try to rein it in to fit something else, happened in the writer's room. And that's when I feel the safest to try things that feel risky or that I haven't done before, because the songs don't have to come out. I mean, I write so many songs that I'll never see the light of day. And some of these, I didn't know if they would end up being that or not. And I ended up liking them a lot more than I thought I would and wanting to even build my artistry and my image around it. So it's been an interesting project to like grow through. I feel like I've really like stepped into my own and become more confident. And even like on the carpet, I haven't had all this training. I haven't had a ton of experience, but I feel like I'm in a place now where I like being whatever I'm going to be, whatever I'm going to do, and just seeing what my gut says to go with and just going with that instead of doing what I feel like I'm supposed to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But when you're in the writer's room, like, are you recording these songs and creating demos? And are you leaving the writer's room with these songs sounding, you know, what was the word you used? Driven or what was the word you said? No, the word you said to describe this new sound.
I've said a lot of words
already. To describe this new sound.
Kind of driving.
Driving. Yeah. Like, did you leave the session feeling like that's, like, the way those songs were sounding? Or you just thought that these songs could lend themselves to a platform?
None of them were reimagined once we got into the studio. Like, most of them,
Why do you even go into the studio? Do they come out sounding better? Or?
Well, yeah, because you get to have, like, real drums put on them instead of programmed drums. And I get another shot at, like, singing the vocals and things that. And there is, like, to me, I respect like Casey Brown and Josh Kerr, their instincts so much. And even though they did write on some of the songs, they didn't write on all of them. So to get their brain cells on it, thinking about it, of what would be cool, I love just adding another person to the mix and the players that played on it. So I definitely think it was worth like going in and recutting it. But like Matchmaker, Dylan, I think Guthrow is how you say his last name. But he did the demo and it ended up being co-produced with him and Josh because we kept so much of the demo bones there, and just built off of it. But, yeah, I don't know. I think there is, it is fun to get a chance to kind of reimagine it if you want, even if you end up landing where you did, but to just let more people be involved too.
Did you play any instruments on this demo or do you just let the session musicians do it? But I feel like you could do it.
You know, I've thought about doing it. Up till now, I've let the session musicians do it. I mean, I think I'm okay at guitar until, like, Ilya walks in and kills it on. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know how to play like that, though. It's a different level. And it is fun to turn something so personal. And even though, like, the final product will be my name and my face, it's fun to know it was a group project. There was a team behind it. There was a lot of people that lent, like, their talents and their gifts and things, their craft that they've worked years on, got to play a little part in that too. So it's fun to turn this individual thing into a team sport.
Do you have any feeling though that you would want, like, I would want my guitar, if I had your ability, I would want my guitars on the record, even if they were buried somewhere, like if they were rhythm parts, like I would want to strive to be as good as the session players.
Right.
Or to you, is that not as important because the vocal is what's important and that's your thing?
I mean, I play in all my live shows and I play a lot of guitar. So maybe I get, you know, my fix there or in the writer's room. But it is something I would want to do eventually. I don't know, for some reason, I guess I didn't think about it for this.
I think you should fight for it for the next record.
Okay. Well, honestly,
don't listen
that would
to me.
Be fun.
Don't give in that easily. But I'm just curious because I would want to play on everything.
It is tough, though. They're just really, really good. Like these professionals that have played on iconic records that have like built the sound of country music. You also kind of want them to get to be a part of your thing, too, you know? So there's a balance of it. But there's a way, there's like a middle ground where they could still do what they do. And like you said, I could still play some acoustic here and there or whatever.
But, like, does that, maybe that doesn't, like, come into your mind. Or maybe you don't think about that, which I think is fair. Like, do you want?
It's definitely that more than anything. It's not like a decision of, oh, I don't want to play. It's like, I just didn't think
Who's
about it.
Who's
going to
tell
playing?
You no if you show up and you say, you know what, I want to
No, they would
down.
Tell me I could.
They would tell you you could,
I'm
right?
I'm sure. I take the guitar out of his hands.
No. I just think you could lay down some rhythm or something. I've seen you play electric guitar, too. You can play electric guitar.
I actually think that would be really fun. I know I'm thinking about it. This stuff is already done. But for the next project,
I would love
to incorporate that.
Yeah, yeah. Or don't you think at the very least you could, like, maybe you could learn something from these guys? Like, if you're in the studio playing with them, you could take out your guitar. And
it would be fun to, like, sit in the session because, you know, they all sit down and they record at the same time. Like, it's a live band. Have you been to a session
before?
Yes. It's incredible.
I know. Yeah.
It would be fun to sit in and be playing with them. I guess even when you were throwing it out, I would think that, well, I would probably do it out, like, later or something. But I could probably just sit in that room with them and play acoustic.
I think you could. Or electric or something.
That would actually be really fun. I love the idea of that.
I don't know. Don't listen to me.
No, I am going to.
I think you should do it next time. Because you know why else? Because I think a lot of people can't do it. Like, and I think
Maybe.
You probably could.
I would try my hardest.
Yeah.
Keep up.
That's all you got
to
do.
But I think you're right. Like, I could learn so much. And, I mean, I normally don't get to do stuff like that, you know? So taking advantage of the opportunity. They're all set up. I'm sure they can just throw another chair in there.
But you'll set up too. Who cares? You'll show up and set up, like, whatever.
That would be fun. It would also be fun to, like, have my guitars on it.
That's what I
like my Martin and my, I have a J45 that I love too from Gibson.
Are you, like, a big guitar nerd or do you just kind of play whatever you have?
You know, I have a Martin D28 I really love and I have a Gibson J45 that I really love. But I also, like, I stopped taking guitars to rights because it gives me an excuse to play whatever they have.
Really?
Because if I have my own, then, like, they probably expect me to play my guitar. I mean, makes sense. But if I don't bring one, I'm always like, can I borrow this? So it's fun to, like, play different guitars and even play somebody else's Martin D28 and feel how, like, different it feels and sounds and or it's warmer or whatever. I don't know. It's fun.
Who's got the best guitar out of every writer in town?
That's a good question. I'm trying to think where I saw it for the first time, But somebody in town, it might have been Josh Kerr, but it was, I played a resonator not too long ago. It's like a $400.
You just posted a video about this on your Instagram where you
were
playing it.
Yes, I was playing
it.
Yeah, it's a $400 like Gretsch resonator, which for a guitar, that's like nothing. And I had so much fun. Like, it was such a different sound. And I literally went and bought one the next day. I was like,
really?
I need this. And
that
I
can't
keep...
be the best guitar.
It's not the best like quality guitar or whatever, but it's so different. And I think like, I mean, I'm trying to think of what actual guitars have like blown me away. And I think it's more of the things that are different than like, I don't know if I know enough about guitars to be like, oh, the way this is set up is incredible.
Yeah, that's my, that's all I would be thinking about. I would never go into a session playing someone else's guitar because
really?
No, never. Because I can't play most people's guitars.
Oh, why?
Because the action. Because I think.
Do you have really low action or high?
I use very low action.
Oh, okay.
And when the action's too high, I struggle.
Well, you could probably play anybody's electric guitar then, though.
Well, most people have really high action.
Even on their electrics?
I think so. I don't know. Yeah.
You must have really low action.
No, my action buzzes. I like my strings to buzz a little bit.
Okay.
Because
on
I have
purpose.
The lowest action. But I also have awful problems with my hands. So I need the guitar to be as easy to play as possible. So my action's as low as it can be.
Well,
and my tech
fair
goes,
enough.
That's not right. That's buzzing. And I go, no, leave it there. That's where I want it.
That's how I like it.
I like it.
His signature sound, if you will.
It's just buzz. It's just fret
just a little buzz.
No, I don't get that much buzz. I just get enough. Where the action is as low as it can be.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I have had some acoustics where I've made the action lower so I can solo on it too. But I don't know. I like pressing it down, like feeling it.
I don't know. No, I think that's what most people like. How extensive is your knowledge of guitar? Because I've seen you really play guitar. Like, do you feel like you really have the fretboard mapped out, or do you feel like you can kind of just learn tabs and you know where the numbers are? Or do you, like, how confident are you with the instrument?
I mean, I definitely am pretty good with tabs, which I love that because that means that I can look up a solo like I've looked up to for a while and like try to learn it and stuff. But I mean, I guess this is the best way I know how to say it is the solos I play in my live show. I kind of know what I'm going to do, but I also leave room to get to do what I want. And
how
I'm
do you
good
know-
enough for that. Like, to know, okay, I want to probably take it up here in this part of the solo, go higher. I'll probably start in this area of the fretboard. But besides that, I feel like I'm knowledgeable enough to be able to kind of feel what I want to do in the moment too. But I feel better with everything else going on in a live show to know at least kind of where I'm starting and where I want to end.
But then if you are going to stretch out of that, like, do you have the music theory knowledge to know, I don't usually know
what I'm doing.
You don't even know what
you're
doing.
But I can sing. So I had a guitar teacher once give me a lesson to like sing what I wanted to play and then learn how to make like play it on the guitar. Cause it's very easy for me to come up with like melodies and stuff like that. Like I write all the time. I sing to myself all the time.
And then you find the notes.
So, and then try to, I guess, get familiar enough to know that, to know the things that you're singing, how to match it on the guitar at the same time while you're coming up with it. And so that was something I did a lot, like in high school. I would sit in my bed with a guitar and like try to sing the note that I wanted to play and play it and learn how to do those at the same time. So then live, I know what sounds I want to make and the melody I want to do. And then it's just mimicking that on the guitar. But I definitely like start with where I would with my voice. I don't know. I can't start on the guitar really.
What would inspire you to push guitar playing into that level? Because I feel like when I was learning guitar, I had all of these, and it's not to make it about the sexes, but I think like I would have all these male guitar players that I would look up to that I would think, oh my God, I want to be that guy. Like, would you look up to the same people and just go, I could do that, I want to do that? Or were there other guitar players that were inspiring you to do this? Like, what really excited you to learn the guitar past the very basic levels of it?
Well, you know, I looked up to Keith Urban a lot. Yeah. I looked up to Brad Paisley a lot, and he killed it live last night.
I was on a
night.
Call with him this morning.
Shut up. No,
yeah,
you weren't.
No, I was. I was talking about his new single.
I am
him
so jealous right now.
Because we were doing a thing.
I am fangirling through you.
Have you ever seen my interview with him?
No, I need to watch it. Please send it to me.
It's the best interview he's ever done. That's what the comments say.
Dang.
So I believe it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's not the point,
though. Yeah, he's great, though. I looked up to him, and then, I mean, I'm a huge John Mayer fan. Like, I learned the entire Continuum album when I was, I think, in high school. And that was a big thing for me, too. I liked how his songs had guitar lines, like things that they wrapped around and were like almost just as important players as the hook or the melody or the chorus, whatever it was. So I have kind of incorporated that into this project more so than anything in the past. Like even Getting Away With It, it doesn't necessarily have like a lead line. Matchmaker does, but it has like a big part. Like the guitar parts are important and they add to the songs. They're not just filling the space. Like they're really important to like the whole structure of the song. And I feel like that is something I've done on this project for the first time. And it started in the writer's room. It did not, none of the crazy guitar parts. I'm trying to think. I guess on No Fences, which is the song that closes out the project, the guys in the studio came up with a cool guitar part. But besides that, most of the lines came up in the writer's room, which was really special to like have that just as important as the words and the melody.
I think that's what's missing from a lot of great country songs that come out are these great hook lines in the intro.
Well, especially you go back to 90s country or like early 2000s, and that was such a factor. When I started putting together this project, I listened to a lot of early Keith Urban because I'm just such a fan.
But were you, when you were like a kid learning guitar, like were you like the weirdo musician or like were you kind of like a popular kid who just happened to play guitar?
I was not popular. But that's definitely
like
for
what's,
sure.
Like what state were you like learning guitar in your bedroom?
You know, it was my own little thing. I don't think a lot of people in my school even like knew that I was doing that. I was in the drum line in high school.
Yeah, I know you played drums, right?
Yeah, so I was in the snare line. And
yeah, that
like,
could not have made you cool. There's no way that made you cool.
It sure didn't. No. I mean, I had the whole outfit. Like, there was no way.
Oh,
it wasn't going to happen.
There's no way. Yeah.
Those pictures need to get burned. But
no, let's find it. Let's put them out.
My mom would send them to you so fast.
We're going to overlay them right here.
Jesus.
On the,
but it was kind of like, it was my thing. And music has, you know, neither of my parents were really into music. They listened to a lot of music. We had a lot of music going on in the house and the car, but they didn't play or like sing or anything like that. And my sister, she's a tennis player at Stephen F. Austin, so down in Nacogdoches, Texas. And so she's always been in like athletic things. So music was always something that was mine. And I liked it that way. I liked it being my little world that I could go into and no one around me, you know, could understand me. But
what do you mean they couldn't understand you?
Well, a lot of my friends like weren't into like playing music. I mean, in drumline, like they would drum. And some of them were into guitar, but also like all of them were boys. So they weren't like my friends I hung out like closely with. I would hang out with them at like the, you know, games or whatever. But like all of my girlfriends in high school I was really close with, they weren't into music like that.
When I was learning music, it was such a sense of community. Like I felt like I was fitting in because I would hang out with other guys who would play music.
I felt like that after I moved to Nashville.
That you felt like that when you moved to Nashville?
Yeah. I mean, because especially the writers community here is so welcoming. Like everybody's on everybody's team because if, you know, if anybody wins, we all win together. Like it's really easy to root for people in the writers like community. Everyone's trying to help each other grow and get better and just truly create the best music you can. So I felt that once I moved, but I mean, I didn't know anybody in my school that wrote songs.
See, I felt like my friends pushed me to stay in music and to get better. And it was like competitive. One of my friends would get better and then I'd be so pissed off and then I would try to get better. And it was this thing and it was such a communitive thing. I don't even know if that's a word. Community. But
it
like,
sounds good to me.
If I didn't have that, I don't know if I would have stayed in it. Like, what was keeping you, what kept you practicing? You just wanted to.
I mean, I loved it.
That was it.
I loved it. But also, I had a lot of people, you know, speaking life and motivation into me that were older than me, but they weren't like my friends. You know what I mean? Like, they were 10, 15 years older than me, and they were mentoring me almost. And all of them were encouraging me to stay in it for sure. But I mean, what actually made me, you know, pick up the guitar and learn a song I didn't know, I think was me wanting to do that.
What is the deal with the song Matchmaker? Because is every word in this really true?
Yeah.
What's the story? Can we get into it a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Like, no, for sure.
What's the... So, okay, so this is a guy that you were dating.
Yeah.
How long were you dating this guy?
6 years.
6 years.
We started dating my freshman year of high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
How'd you start dating?
He was in the drum line.
He was in the drum line. So this was actually working, the drum line.
Yes. It did get me a boyfriend. This is true. And honestly, our relationship throughout high school was really sweet. Like, it was very innocent, and it was, I don't know, like, just high school sweethearts, typical thing. But then I'm moving to Nashville. I'm chasing this dream. And he was looking for a college to go to because, you know, he was being a normal human and going to college. And he was like, well, maybe I'll just go to Belmont. And I remember thinking, like, that's probably not a good idea. But then I was like, you know what? We're in love. Who cares? So he went to Belmont. And
but hold on. I got to stop you here for a second. You graduated high school a year early.
Yes.
So was he older or what?
A year older.
He was a year
older.
So
we graduated at the same time.
You graduated at the same
time. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So you were dating for 4 years and then you're going to.
3 years.
3 years because you graduated a year early.
Yeah.
So you're dating for 3 years and then you're going to move to Nashville. Was he like, did he push the music thing? Like, was he supportive of the music thing?
He was supportive of the music thing, for sure. Like, I mean, I had started coming to town and writing and stuff like that before him and I were even dating or I even knew him. So it was always a factor. It was always a thing. I had some shows in Texas. Like,
what do you think you had
between,
in common with this guy?
What did I think or do I think?
Was it the music thing? What was it that, like, or I don't know.
Well, we went to the same church. I thought he was really funny. Humor can get to Aaron Kinsey. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were around each other a lot, and I don't know, at some point we were just dating.
Yeah.
I mean, we were really, really good friends first. And, I mean, I don't even know if there was nothing wrong with it in high school. I think that once we moved, like, we started growing into new people, like, growing up, honestly. And we kind of grew farther apart than we realized, and we were trying to make it work, you know? But then obviously when you're trying to make something work that doesn't work, there's room for people to get in the middle of that.
This feels so PR. This is what they teach you in the PR
training.
Right, right. Wait. So did he end up going to Belmont?
Yeah, he went to Belmont. He graduated.
He graduated?
Mm-hmm.
In what? What did he study?
I mean, honestly, it's a really good question. Business.
Who cares?
Something.
Like, let's
it was business
him,
something.
Don't even give him any airtime. So, but he, so you, this song, Matchmaker.
Right.
Is a, it seems like you introduced him. What, you introduced
so
him?
Technically, he introduced me to this girl. They met at their orientation. But then her and I got really close.
Yeah.
And so her and I were like in Bible study together. We were like watching each other's dogs for each other. She actually did content for me at one point. She would do behind the scenes stuff for me and like edit. And she was one of my really good friends for a long time. And and I was talking to her throughout, like, the whole relationship. I was like, I don't know what's going on. Like, this is weird, and I don't know if this is working. And my ex, like, he was ready to get married. He was ready to, like, settle down, do the thing. And I was just revving up on all my music stuff. And I think we both knew something wasn't right, but we had been dating for so long at that point that we were like, I mean, we either need to do something or break up. And obviously we chose break up. But, so we broke up and I reached out to her and, you know, told her about it. And I remember she told me, yeah, he called me on the way home from your house after y'all broke up. And I was like, that's interesting. He sure has a lot of friends. It's interesting he chose you, but, you know, whatever.
But you were freaking out. You had to be freaking out.
Honestly, I was upset that we broke up. I wasn't thinking too much about any of that.
Yeah,
was just like, okay, like, I know, like, this is tough. Like, we dated for a really long time. We were very intertwined with each other's lives. I mean, like, he is from my hometown, obviously. So, like, we would go home together. Like, it was a lot. And then I remember her and I went to Bar Taco one night after. And we had, like, she wasn't asking about me enough. You know what I mean? Like, I'm obviously, like, I dated this guy for a long time. Like, you should be concerned for me, you know? She wasn't asking how I was doing enough, and I was like, that's interesting. But she asked if I could go get dinner, and we went. And she said that she had, like, hung out with him a couple times to just, like, talk through things. And I was like, honestly, I can't deal with this right now. So her and I just kind of stopped hanging out after that because we had already lost touch a little bit. And I'm like, you know what? If he needs you to be his friend or whatever, whatever. And then I found out they were engaged like a year later.
How do you find it out?
My poor dad saw a post on his mom's Facebook and screenshot it, sent it to my sister. And he said, what do we do? And my sweet sister called me and told me. And honestly, my first reaction was, I knew it.
You knew what? That they were going to be together?
Yes.
Or
yes. Yes. Because I had suspicions with, you know, them hanging out and stuff like that. We did one time get in an argument about, like, just my lifestyle and, like, how different I was. And I was like, you need someone more like... And it was her.
That's what you said to him.
Yeah.
Like you said.
So I was like, it was my idea. I knew it.
It was your idea. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hence Matchmaker.
Hence the song.
Hence the song.
Matchmaker.
Yeah.
Wait, so this is so great.
It's so layered, which is tough. Like,
why is it layered? What's the layering?
Well, honestly, there's so much time that went by that there's just like so much happened. Like it was just a lot.
But you didn't feel, the feelings you didn't feel were like, you didn't feel, I don't know what, like. Pissed off or like did you feel like early on were you pissed that she was like going after your man or you just felt kind of removed?
Well, it was a year later.
No, but early on at Bar Taco, like if I knew.
Oh, right. Well, I was kind of mad, but I was kind of mad at everybody at that point. So I was like, in the world, I was like, why did this happen to me? Why did I date him for 6 years? I was mad at myself. So I was like, it's kind of even playing field for everyone. But what's funny is around that time, it was before we broke up, but I thought, you know, obviously I made this comment to him while we were arguing that I was like, you need to be with someone like her. And I thought they were maybe a little closer than I thought, than he was leading on, you know. And that's when I wrote I Ain't Crazy. It's because I was like, you need someone like her, whatever. And he was like, no, never, whatever. And I went into the writer's room the next day with Casey Brown and Travis Wood. And I was like, I think there's like something going on there. And honestly, I don't even care. That's how far removed I was from this relationship by the time we broke up, I guess. It's a good representation of that. But I was like, I don't even care if they're hanging out, but do not call me crazy. Do not say that I am making
up stuff.
Who
was calling you crazy, though? Were they calling you crazy?
Well, he was. He was saying that there wasn't anything going on between them. There never would be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was more upset about that than even the idea of them hanging out. I was like, well, don't say I'm wrong. Yeah. Because I know I'm right.
How do you rebound in Nashville, though? Like, do you then go, I'm single, I'm going out to Broadway? Like, or do you even think like that?
Honestly, I was so busy with music and thank God, because I probably had gotten in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, but you had to think I'm single for the first time in 6 years.
Well, I was on festival dates.
So better yet, there are hot guys at festivals. Like how do you?
Oh, I got to watch Morgan Wallen with my toes in the sand in Atlantic City. I was like, this is incredible. And I went and, like, my day-to-day manager, Mary Kadar, like, her and I are best friends. So we just, like, leaned in. We did everything together. She's married, and she has a kid.
Yeah.
But she was, like, running around town with me, and we were, like, going out all the time and, like, just having fun. She would go to these festivals with me, and we'd be, like, singing on the beach and stuff. And I felt like I really leaned into, like, her as my friend and my sister a lot, too. And then also I really dove into music. Just every feeling I had, I tried to write a song about it and I tried to see what could come from it. And if I didn't have anything holding me back, because for a long time I was dating this guy. I was not happy and I was writing love songs. And it felt very fake. And I was posting about him that we were happy and everything was great. And I was not happy. So I felt like I made a commitment to myself more than anything of like, okay, do not lie to other people, but more so don't lie to yourself anymore. Like, just say what you want to say and see what happens. You don't ever have to, like, put it out there. But, like, at least say it, you know, in the phone voice memo, in the song, and in the writer's room. Like, be honest. And so it's been nice to, like, feel like I can, like, if I'm going to talk about something, I'm going to be honest about it. And I hadn't felt that before.
Was there ever a time, though, where you're with your day-to-day manager and she goes, oh, that guy over there is pretty cute. You should go talk to him. Or she pushes you to go flirt with someone or anything like that?
I mean, yes, for sure. But she also, like, was looking out for me. Like, she didn't want me to do anything dumb either. So it was a good balance of, like, she would hype me up and build me up. But also she would be like, actually, you know, don't do that.
Really? She would? Okay.
She was a good wing woman.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Really? Because she would prevent you from doing stupid things or because she could hype you up to the right person?
Both.
Both?
Both. Like, what, she did a little yin and yang.
What would she do? Like, would she say, would she walk you over to someone and introduce you to her and just see if there was chemistry? She would say, this is Erin. She just played in front of 10,000 people. Okay, goodbye. Like, is that how she would do it?
Honestly, she wouldn't really leave me alone, but she would hype me up and then she would hang out with us. Because, I mean, she had nowhere to go, poor thing.
That's true. But that's not true. She could go anywhere. She could go to the bathroom. She could go to the bus.
Right.
She could go to a million places.
I mean, if she
felt
the need to, I guess there's a couple times where she did, like, at least remove herself for a second. But she would come back around and be like, okay, let's go.
and drag you away.
Right.
Yeah. Would you date anyone right now? Or are we focusing on the music career, you know, fully?
Oh, I definitely date somebody right now.
Yeah. What would it take, though? Like, would it have to be someone in the music industry who would understand?
I do think, for me, yeah. Like, it would have to be somebody who at least understands. Now, it wouldn't have... I mean, it's hard to, like, draw clear boundaries on things like that, but I don't think you can understand this business unless you're in it. And I know what it's like to date somebody in healthcare, and it didn't go well.
This guy was in healthcare?
Healthcare.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Why didn't it go well? Was he boring? Why was it not working out in healthcare?
Well, I could give you a lot of reasons.
No, but give me a couple. Like, is it just lack of creativity, lack of enthusiasm? Like, what is wrong with working in healthcare when you're a musician?
You know, I don't know if there's anything wrong with him, the fact that he was in healthcare, but he did not understand my life. And I think more than anything, I don't know if he had anything he was super, super, like, passionate about to where he understood why I can never turn it off. Like, I think for him, that was what he wanted his, like, family to be. He wanted his wife to be that. And I hope she is. I hope that's everything that he wanted. There's nothing wrong with that. I just had this other dream of mine that if I'm sitting on the couch at 10 p.m., I'm still kind of thinking about it. Like, I always kind of think about it all the time, and I don't really want to not think about it, too. I mean, it tortures me sometimes, but I enjoy being lost in it. I enjoy thinking about things I could do, things I want to do, things I've done. And that's just part of loving something that much, you know?
All right, fair enough. What would it take, though, for you to go date someone right now? Like, how would you know if it was even the right thing?
How do you even know I'm not dating someone right now?
Well, I don't know anything. Maybe you are. Should we talk about that?
No.
Okay.
No.
So maybe there is someone you're dating right now.
Okay.
But if there was, how would you have known that they were worth dating? Like, was it characteristics? Like, what would have sold it to you?
Man, I hope this doesn't come across wrong, but for me, it's who I feel like I get to be around them. Again, once I broke up with this guy, it was so important to me to get to be me and not feel pressure to be somebody I wasn't. And I had realized that pressure to, I mean, honestly, kind of lie. Like, it again, we were not happy and I was pretending we were. And that really found its way, like, into music that I wanted to like and I wanted to sing and love. And I don't know if I think I thought I loved it at the time. But then, like, with this project I'm in now, I'm like, oh, that's what feeling every word feels like. That's what loving the song feels like. That's what feeling every moment of it feels like. And I think that correlates to relationships now. It's even with, like, my sister, I thought I was close with her. Like, now I know what it's like to actually be completely open and honest with her and, like, the relationship we have now. So it's that. It's feeling like I'm getting to be completely honest and show every side of me, whether it's like the good and the bad and the ugly and also like the cool. Like, I get to do a lot of cool things too, and feeling like I can lean into that and be the most of that. And I don't need to, like, I don't know, bring myself down to be on a different level or to make somebody not feel uncomfortable. And it is hard to date an artist. Like, there's no doubt. There's so much to it. And I'm not blind to that, but somebody that can handle that, I feel like, would be pretty special.
What's the takeaway for other artists? And maybe this guy is clout chasing with you a little bit.
Maybe.
How do you know he's not?
If I have clout, he can chase. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no. Maybe he thinks this is going to work out for him, you know?
Yeah.
You know, maybe he needs a chapter in his memoir about
the time he dated Erin Kinsey.
That could be a whole section.
Hey, well, I mean, honestly, if that's worth that much, then Cool. But no, I think you know. I think what I've learned in the last couple of years is that my gut is worth listening to. And I don't think I thought that for a really long time. When I was in high school, I was not the popular kid or whatever, you know, but I was very to myself and I was such a follower. And I just wanted to do what everybody wanted me to do. I wanted to be whoever everybody wanted me to be, like what would ever, you know, like just a super people pleaser. And I think that your gut knows what's going on. And if you're willing to listen to it and trust it, it's not going to steer you wrong. So that's been a big thing I've learned. And I would encourage absolutely anybody in any field ever to listen to that because it knows.
Isn't the irony, too, that now you'd probably be the popular kid in high school? You probably have more going on than anyone you went to high school with. Is that possible?
Actually, I think one guy went to play for the Yankees. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty good.
I
take it back. Second.
Yeah. But why, I might be second.
Second. Why do you think, like, you've had some of these songs go really viral, like Matchmaker and Crazy, right? Like, why do you think these songs went so viral?
I mean, it's hard to say. If I could figure it out, then every video would go viral. But
do you have some inclination about it? Or is it really hard to say? Like, does it just feel so random?
I like to think it's because I was so honest in it and so, like, wrote these songs so in the moment that when people hear them, they think of moments they've had like that. And so it's a deep connection with the song. So they both had like a lot of shares and a lot of like comments and even UGC content, like user generated videos that they made. And so I think that it was more than them connecting with a song. It was them connecting with a story and a feeling. So I like to think it's that because that makes my meet and greets really fun. And that makes the shows really fun because those roots run deep with those girls, especially. But I don't know. Maybe it's because the lighting was right on it.
But did you put out, like, was someone on your team telling you more videos? Like, let's do more content around this. And, like, did it take a couple videos for those songs to really pop off?
It did take a couple videos. Well, with I Ain't Crazy, the first one I posted did pretty well. And I wasn't planning on necessarily releasing that song. It felt very scary to me. Because Matchmaker and I Ain't Crazy, like, those were things I wrote very in the moment. They felt very real and tangible to me. They did not feel like songs. They felt like my life on display. So I was like, well, if everybody likes it, then maybe I'll release it. But if they don't love it, then I'm not just releasing this for nothing because this is going to be hard to, like, talk about and promote and whatever. Like, turn this experience into, like, a promotion or something. But I really changed my view on it. I mean, I started last fall posting a lot. I kind of made a goal to myself to just post every day and kind of loosen my grip on every post needing to be the best thing in the world and the one that changes my life, but just like do quantity. And it made me have a lot more fun with my posts. It made me take the pressure off of each one to like make the world spin the other way around. And I tried to keep that in the forefront of my mind with these songs. And I was surprised by how much fun I had coming up with things to say before the song started or finding funny comments to respond to. And also really leaning into the performance content, like those videos, they make me feel so cool. Cause I'm like with my band and doing my thing and in cute outfits, my sister styles me. So like an outfit she picked out for me. And it was definitely a big confidence booster for me throughout that experience of like promoting all of these songs.
Which part was the confidence booster, the outfits or the fact that your numbers were growing on socials and you were getting these viral moments? Like,
I think
what was
I was making content I was proud of.
That was the confidence boost.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I feel like this video is cool. And I hadn't felt that before a lot. I felt like I was just trying to throw something up that I hoped people liked. And I'm like, you know what? Even if nobody likes this, I think it's cool. And to be able to think that and actually mean it, it did a lot for me.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Fair enough, Erin Kinsey in the studio, new EP dropping.
Yes, sir.
In like, I don't know, I think next Friday, when I don't know when people, this is going to come out. When's it dropping? October what?
October 11th. My birthday is on the 10th, so it drops that night.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Getting Away With It. That's the name of the EP,
yep.
Right? Getting Away With It. Yeah, yeah.
A little long, but.
Is it too long?
It's what I wanted to call it.
Fuck yeah. Just get, it's what it fucking is. Get over
it's
it.
It's what it's called.
It's what it's called. Getting Away With It is coming out October 11th, the day before Aaron Kinsey's birthday. Some of these songs
day
are
after.
Out. Whatever. The day after. Some of these songs are already out, so you can go listen to them.
Yes.
But some of them are coming out. And
yes.
This is high octane. This is guitar. This is a new sound for Aaron Kinsey.
Mm-hmm.
And she's secretly in love with someone. And there's a secret lover. He's not going to tell us now. He might even be a boyfriend. I don't even know. We don't even know what he is, but he's there.
He's there.
And Aaron seems happy. And that's what she wants you to know. That you should not try to slide into her DMs. She's taken. Okay. Take it easy. And now what's happening?
You're
on the road. Are you doing European dates with Restless Road?
I am now, in December. I'm so excited.
Are you?
It's 3 weeks on the road with them in a double-decker tour bus.
That seems so crazy to me. So are you going to have the top floor?
I don't know. I'm going to go wherever they put me because I'm going to be honest. Yeah. I don't normally have the budget for a tour bus.
Is this
we
full?
Van
yeah.
and trailer it.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
So my boys, they have been like roughing it. It's, you know, play the show, drive 4 hours on the way to the next show, crash at a Holiday Inn Express, wake up early, get the free breakfast, and then drive 6 hours the rest of the way to the next show. Like, they have been busting their tails. And so I feel like I'm super excited to go, but I'm really excited to get to give them like this experience as well and us to all get to go together. Because even right now I'm out with William Clark Green and I'm having so much fun. And I'm getting to be on his bus, but it's solo acoustic. So I'm by myself.
That's not fun.
And, well, it doesn't feel like I'm getting to do my full show. Like, I'm only there by myself with my guitar. I can only do so much. I have a looper pedal, and you'd actually probably love this, but I have a looper pedal, so I've been doing, like, some beats and some soloing and stuff like that. But I know the show we can put on, and I know I'm not getting to do that. So I'm excited to get to do it overseas.
What are the elements of a live band show that even when you're with your band, you still don't have yet? Like, are you dying to get like a catwalk or screens? Like
ooh.
What are you trying to get?
Man, I don't even know if I've really thought about this all that much.
No, you have to have thought about this because you see shows.
I do want lights. Like, I think having, like some kind of backdrop and like set would be cool.
Yeah.
But luckily Restless Road has a really cool one, so we get to use theirs. But, you know, I'd love to have like a more cinematic show, whether that's through crazier transitions. And I think more so we're on a lot of opening dates, so we only have 35 minutes. And it's the things that you get to do when you have over an hour, which is like long guitar solos or drum solos or just really like, I don't know, it's your show. You can do whatever you want. We haven't had that. Like, a lot of it's opening gigs, which is cool because you get to team up with somebody and get in front of their audience and kick things off. But also, you're a part of their show. And I'm excited for us to get our show at some point.
What is that going to take? Can you not do that now?
I think we can. We're starting to book some headlining stuff.
Where are you headlining?
I actually only know of one, and I think it's in March. But
where's your biggest market, though? Is it home? Is it a hometown show, or is it Nashville?
It's Chicago.
Chicago?
Can you believe that?
Yeah, I was just out with a band. Their biggest market was Chicago, too. Chicago's weird.
It's, you know what? I love that they like me.
Let's just go with that.
So, yeah, I want to go
Wait,
there
so where
and
are you playing
too.
In Chicago? Or you don't even have something booked?
I don't even have anything booked
even
there
have
yet.
Anything booked.
But, yeah, I think, honestly, my team and I have just started talking about, like, trying to figure out a headlining run and situation
so
and stuff like that. I think it's weird. I've been lucky enough to be a part of other people's stuff for so long, getting to open.
Yeah.
That I think I kind of forgot that we could just do our own stuff. So now we're talking about it. But there's a lot that goes into that, obviously. And I'm not with an agent right now, so it would be well falling on my team and me.
How are you not with an agent? What do you even mean?
I just haven't signed anywhere right now.
Because you feel like you don't need an agent? I
guess I'm waiting for like the right
partnership. I know you could have an agent if you wanted an agent. There's got to be a reason.
You know, I think I just want to find like the perfect fit and the right. Like, I've been at an agency before, and there was nothing wrong with the situation, but I felt like I wanted to be with somebody who was. I don't know. Maybe I just been there too long. I really don't know exactly what happened there, to be honest.
I'll
but,
be your agent.
Okay, honestly, there we go.
What do you need? What do you need? You need shows? I'll book you shows.
Okay, please. You can get 10%.
I wouldn't take less. That would. What do you mean? Of course. This is so crazy to me. Okay, but
I don't know. I guess people build their teams different and stuff like that, and that's one of the pieces I haven't filled in perfectly yet.
So how do you get on the Restless Road tour?
The boys called me.
They called you?
Yeah, they asked if I would come out.
Wow.
But they called me last July and asked if I would sing on a song on their album. And so I was a feature on most nights.
Yeah.
And so I think after we did that and that went well, they were like, well, why don't you just kick off the shows and then you can sing most nights during our show and everything. And it's been a really fun partnership. Like, my band gets along with their whole team and them really well. And
but those are good guys.
Oh, they're so fun. I saw them last night on the carpet. And I mean, there's a lot of people in country music that I know, but there's still a lot of people I don't. And so I was like kind of looking around the room and I saw them and it was like seeing brothers. I was like, oh my gosh, hi.
Yeah. Aaron Kinsey, who are the three people in the genre that you feel closest to, who are like artists, who are like really big names?
Ooh,
like
really
who are
big
those
names.
Or just names that, you know, my audience might know. Like, who are the three people that we feel closest to?
You know, I definitely, honestly, in the last like couple months, have tried to get a lot closer with other artists because I feel like we normally divide and conquer. Like, we're not normally in the same place at the same time because we're a bunch of different places playing a bunch of different things. But one of my label mates, George Burge, I really, really love. And I actually just spent time with him and Matt Stell, both
in Colorado.
Colorado.
Right? Yeah, I saw him. Yeah.
And I mean, we divide and conquer a lot too, but getting to see them and like feel how, you know, much I do trust them and love them and like look up to them and feel like they were even looking out for me out there. That was really fun. And then I'm sure I'm forgetting like so many people right now just because it's the thing of you ask and then I forget everybody I've ever known. But I also really love Peyton Porter. She's such a sweetheart and she's so talented. And last night I got to meet Ella Langley for the first time at the People's Choice and she was so sweet.
I feel like you and Ella Langley could be friends.
I feel like we could be too. She said she loves to cook. I love to cook.
Really?
She said she's good at soups.
Soups. Like, soups are easy.
You know what? Honestly, but a good one, there's nothing better than it.
There's nothing.
And we're about to get into soup season.
This is soup season
this
coming
is soup
up.
Season
Who do you
up.
Think are, like, the three other artists in Nashville on the rise that you look at and you go, those people are really great. They're doing something special.
You know, I don't know how on the rise he is anymore, but Dylan Marlowe's new album just dropped.
Yeah.
He's great. I love him. I mean, I love everything that Ella's doing. I think she's wonderful. And then, I mean, I could give you a longer list than three, but Mae Estes is one, too, that I really love watching, and she's just worked her butt off. So, like, watching her release these songs that are finally getting some recognition, that's awesome. She's killing it. I mean, I love Avery Anna. I'm excited to see what she does. I don't know. I think it's a really exciting time for country music because there's a lot of different corners to it, and the rules are less than ever. And it's cool to see what people come up with, like their version of country music. And I was listening to Dylan's album on the way here, and it is so, like, I mean, I know it's a similar word to what I said to mine, and it's actually not similar, it's the same, but it's so rocking, like just heavy guitars and huge drums. And I was like, that is so sick. Like, it sounds so good on his stuff. So it's a really exciting time, I think, to be a fan of country music. And as much as I'm an artist, I'm a fan. So it's cool to see what everybody's doing.
Yeah. Do you ever hear that Ella Langley song that's like, "You Look Like You Love Me"? And do you go, I should have written something like that? Isn't that such a great idea for a song?
It's such a good idea. However, I think it is so creative the way they did the verses. I would have never thought to do something like that.
Really?
To do like the talking story. I mean, I've written a lot of songs. I've never done that. And it's so cool, like, to be able to do something that different and people be open to it and love it. I think it's really awesome.
I think if I was a writer and if I ever wrote a song in my life, which I never have, the first thing I would do is write a song.
You've never written a song?
No.
Why?
Because I'm not a songwriter. Isn't that the answer? That's not entirely
true. But anybody can write a song.
No, but I'm not a
song. If I can write a song, you can write a song.
No, but you're a songwriter. That's the difference.
But literally, you just have to have written one song and then you're a songwriter.
Yeah, okay, fine. Okay, the truth is, actually, is I took a songwriting course in college.
No way.
Where I did.
So you definitely wrote a song.
Well, what the teacher said in this course was, if you write, the way to get an A in this class is to write 30 songs. If you want to be, he was like, write 25, and he like went down from there. Like, that was the only thing you were judged on. So I actually wrote 30 songs for this class that I submitted at the end of the class, and I never wrote a song again. But I don't even know, like, I don't even think these were real songs. I think they were maybe motifs or like riffs or whatever. But like, I just feel like when I sit down, like I just can't, like music doesn't come to me. I think I can, I think I can, you know, like translate it, or I can present it, but I don't think I can write it. I'm not a writer.
Honestly, like a lyricist is a position in the room. Like,
but I'm not even that. I don't even have that going.
But if
for
you came
me.
Up with words.
No, but I mean, I think this was all gibberish.
I don't know. I think you're selling yourself short.
No, I don't. The crazy thing is, I don't think I am.
Do you feel like you didn't end up writing? Now I'm going to be the interviewer.
I'll give you one question, and if it's good, I'll give you a second one, and then we're wrapping up.
Okay.
Okay, Aaron Kinsey, take it over. Yeah.
Do you feel like you didn't write songs for the same reasons that I didn't read books after high school? Because I was forced to.
Well, I didn't want to. I don't know. I read books all the time.
I read now. I came back around to it.
But I don't think you were forced.
Okay.
I don't think that's it. I think the reason is that, you know why? Because, first of all, I think there are people who are like really passionate about it, who wake up wanting to do it. And like, I don't wake up wanting to write songs. I wake up wanting to play the guitar and like wanting to play music, but I don't wake up wanting to write songs. I think that's a big part of it.
That makes sense.
And then the other thing is, you look at these writers where their only skill in life is songwriting, and they grind. And then 10, 15 years later, they finally get a number one, which is amazing. These are incredibly talented people, but I don't think society values the songwriter. And I think, I don't even know if they value a guitar player, but I think I was scared to be a songwriter because what would my life be? By the way, people in Nashville, that's all they do, but I wasn't passionate enough to have the confidence to pursue it, I think.
Yeah. No, I totally get it. I mean, actually on this project coming out, I have my first outside cut that I've ever released. And, you know, some people have asked me how I feel about like releasing a song I didn't write. And to be honest, I feel like it's part of your duty as a artist and songwriter in Nashville to at least take a listen to those songs that didn't have an artist in the room. And I've been a part of the Nashville songwriting community since I was 13. And I've been in a lot of rooms and written a lot of songs. And I do a lot of other things. I play shows. I, you know, make content. I go do radio interviews. I do things like this. And there's some people, like you said, that wake up and all they do all day, every day is write songs. And it would be such a shame just because I couldn't be there. The song wouldn't, you know, make it out into the world. So there's a song called Trouble that is on the project that I didn't write. But I heard it and my team presented it to me. And they're like, hey, we think you might like this. And I took it in the studio and Casey Brown cut it. And it's now one of my favorite songs on the project. I mean, we love playing it live. It's connecting on socials. I feel every word of the song. Like, it's one of those, I can't believe I didn't write it because of how much I love the way they like the structure of the lyrics and the melody and the feel of it. But I'm like really excited to play that role of helping a song that didn't have an artist on it to slap my voice on it and put it out in the world.
That's what I think the crazy thing is. Like, I think if your calling is to write songs, then you're not going to do anything else. But if it's not your calling, why would you go through the struggle of being a songwriter?
It's the worst idea ever. Yeah, it's... You have to love it. But I think that's true with any part of this business. I mean, why would you do it if you don't absolutely love it?
Yeah, and to get the girls. That I mean,
Right.
That's
for
why
you
I
and the guitar,
it.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, that does work.
Well, the problem is you realize early on that doesn't work. And then and then you're screwed. So then you really do have to love it if you're going to continue pursuing
it. You go, well, if it's not going to get me a girl, do I really just want to know how to play guitar?
Yeah, and that's a scary answer, too. Aaron Kinsey, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
We were just in Colorado
this
week. Where were we at? The
Elevation.
Elevation showcasing. Is that just miserable to like present yourself and be like, take me? Because you were playing for all these like sync people and curators and like gatekeepers, and you just have to like pour yourself out and just be like, take my music. Like,
you know,
that's got to be exhausting.
You would think, however, I am so proud of my songs. Yeah. I love showing them off. And I love getting to be the one to do so. Like, if that didn't happen, what would happen most likely is that my team would walk in with the songs, like people from my label or whatever, and they would be explaining them to them. And I'm like, well, you're not going to tell them that this story is true, that it's really my ex, because, you know, they're trying to be respectful, but I'll tell them. And it's so fun to, like, get to actually meet these people, too, and see them face to face. And I love playing my music, so I really don't have a problem with that.
It's okay. Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah.
It was okay. Yeah.
And also, we're in Beaver Creek, Colorado. Hello.
Wasn't it great?
It was gorgeous. It was weird, though, because it was so cold in the shade and so hot in the sun.
Oh, it was brutal.
I never knew what to wear, where to go, what But that was my only complaint.
Yeah.
No, so if Colorado could just fix that.
40 degrees.
Freezing.
Yeah, it was freezing.
Freezing.
Yeah. Anyway, Aaron Kinsey, the new EP is out next Friday. I'm just going to say that.
Okay, next Friday.
Getting Away With It. Okay.
Yes,
October
sir.
11th. That's what you need to reference. If this is already out, go listen to it. She's got music out right now. You can go listen to that too.
Oh,
follow
yeah.
her on Instagram. Follow her on TikTok at Aaron Kinsey TX. I guess Aaron Kinsey was taken. Who the fuck is the real Aaron Kinsey? And why does she have your name? What is happening there?
Honestly, I wanted to put the TX in there.
Oh, that was you? Oh, God. To show the Texas
I'm so proud of it.
Of being
I love it.
Yeah, no,
I remember
yeah.
when I had to change my license plate from Texas to Tennessee, I was, like, very upset. I actually Amazon primed, like, overnighted a Texas emblem for the back of my 4Runner. And I slapped that on there, and I felt a little bit better.
Oh, great. Okay. Whatever works.
Right. Whatever lets you sleep at night.
yeah. So anyway, follow her on Instagram at Aaron Kinsey TX. And if you're in the UK, she's going to be out with Restless Road.
Yes.
She's touring all the time. If you're in Chicago, like, keep doing what you're doing because it's working. She's
yeah,
going to come to you sometime soon. I mean, have we left anything out? What's been unsaid here? Like, what else is going on? Oh, and there's a man in her life, too. But that might be for the second episode.
That's the second episode.
That's the second episode. I'm very curious about this. Anything else we've left out? What's been unsaid?
I think that's everybody. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
She had to turn
everybody.
To the publicist and get the nod of approval to make sure there was nothing left that we didn't say.
I have about 2 brain cells trying to figure it all out right now, but
no.
she's got me. She's got more.
Yeah, yeah. Charlotte's got it figured out.
Yeah. At least 3 brain cells.
as long as she's one step ahead of you.
Precisely.
That's
absolutely
matters. Aaron, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You're always welcome.
Oh, yay.
Yeah.
You said, well, hold on now.
Hold on 1 second.
The door's not open forever.
No. Yeah. Aaron, great to see you.
Good to see you
soon.
You.